righty, Jed, is that, I hear you joining us?
I am here.
Beautiful. Fabulous. What a great start to get rolling here. This is our Media Bits Power Hour, specifically tailored for advertising sales leaders from around the world. We are delighted that all of you are here with us, and this marks our 208th opportunity to come together just like this, going all the way back to 1995 and bringing you educational strategies, selling techniques, tools, resources, trends, you name it, it comes right here, and it happens every single month. Going all the way back to 2006, Jed and myself have been working closely together. They are a wonderful team, a wonderful organization. There's more than 60 hours of programs that are there for you to listen. We passionately encourage you to go look at MediaBids.com and learn all that they are doing and all of the revenue opportunities that they can bring for you and your team. As always, as we get settled in, we encourage you, clear your desk, turn off anything electronic, find an opportunity to really be able to focus on the things that we're going to share. If you get a quick opportunity, print off the three key points from today, and the more notes you make, the more knowledge we're going to transfer to you every step of the way. One last quick point, and that is if you have any questions, we have lots of those questions that came in beforehand. Any questions during the course of our program today, just pop a quick email to Ernest@powerhour.com or very simply just hit a reply to the confirmation that we sent you. Jed, how about some opening words about Media Bids and what is cooking in your world? What's going on? Let's talk.
All right, great. Well, thanks for thanks everyone for being here. Thanks a lot to Ernest. As you'll find out as the hour goes on, Ernest has an enormous amount of knowledge and experience with the publishing world, and I always learn a huge amount during these calls from all the things that he has to share. I am the president of MediaBids. My name is Jed Gould. What MediaBids is a company that uses online formats to sell print ads for publications, not unlike Travelocity or Expedia does for selling airline tickets. We sell print ads in many different forms. It's free to use. We are entirely devoted to generating revenue for print publications, and getting advertisers who otherwise may not be spending money in print or as much money in print to devote ad dollars to print. So if you are using us currently, thank you. And if you'd like to begin using us, we'd be happy to talk to you, or you can visit our website, MediaBids.com, and we're always looking for more publishers and more participation because it's what our advertisers are looking for. So thanks again to Ernest, and thanks to all of you for joining us.
Beautiful. And thank you, Jed, for the wonderful support from you and your team in MediaBids and having worked with Jed over the years. Jed is the kind of company, when they say they're going to do things, they do it. They make a promise and they follow through. They're extraordinary to work with, and you will find them in an old-fashioned, good way, delivering on the things that they say they're going to do and tell you they're going to do. They're wonderful. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. Been in the advertising space going all the way back to the mid-80s, almost 30 years in the space. 18 years ago, launched Power Hour. We've worked with more than 2,000 media groups and publications and advertising websites and newsletters and 11 time zones around the world. We help you win. That's how we approach all of our work, whether it's working with the CEO of a $400 million company or working with a team of 4, or 8, or 12. In all the things that we do, we know how to scale it up if you're a billion-dollar company. We know how to bring it right to, you know, your desktop if it means that you're small and growing. Everybody began somewhere. We have a deep, deep passion for the work around LinkedIn. We run 19 LinkedIn groups with more than 70,000 industry leaders. And if you ever want to find the greatest selling and sales opportunity that I've ever seen and that we at Power Hour have ever seen in the last 30 years, LinkedIn is the place. We do expert LinkedIn training. In addition, Jed, as you know, we have our weekly Power Hour Sales Academy, specifically for advertising sales leaders. Every Thursday, they get about a 12 12 to 14 minute audio sales message. Every Tuesday we meet at the same time and we talk about those strategies, and we help you every single week, every 7 business days, get add an additional strategy that will help you and your team win. And there are never any competing competitors who join us. So we're very specific and very exclusive in the way that we work. So we'd love to have you come join us. Just go to powerhour.com and you can learn more after our program. Jed, it has been since, I had to go all the way back in our notes, since 2006, since we've talked about selling to ad agencies. That's more than a minute ago, yes?
Wow, it's hard to believe.
It really is. You know, we try not to be redundant, but are we so good that we've had 60 unique topics before we even come back around to revisit one like this? It made me pause today. I was twitching a little bit.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So let's talk a little bit. Our theme today is working with and selling to ad agencies and growing our ad sales. We have 3 key points we're going to cover. Let's talk about number 1. The status of ad agencies today, given the wide array of advertising sources and mediums that they are selecting from. Let's agree historically that, you know, ad agencies, you know, have produced ads, they've placed ads, they've historically earned a pretty standard 15%. I must tell you that, Jed, every time I see Mad Men, and they're having, you know, shots of scotch or whiskey at 10 in the morning, I just scratch my head going, man, that was a different day, huh?
Right. It sure was.
A completely different day. But boy, has the world changed since then. My gosh, more ad choices than ever before, lots more decisions to make, lots more mistakes if ad agencies are not working smart and making good buying decisions. And, you know, quite honestly, you know, they're still working the same model, which is the more that they buy, the more that they spend, the more that they earn. But they've got just such an array of decisions. And, Jed, as you're interacting with ad agencies, what is it you find, you know, their sort of state of mind? I mean, they've got an overload of decisions to make, yes?
Right. I mean, we're sort of painting ad agencies with a pretty general stroke, you know, and so there's obviously some that are handling an entire customer's budget and making decisions whether or not to allocate that budget towards different mediums, you know, how much is going to be spent on television and radio and print. There's also ad agencies that, you know, that will take just a segment of a client's budget. So, you know, a larger client might have, you know, an agency that's working just on print and a different agency that's working just on television. So it really varies. But for those more, you know, for the agencies that are handling multiple mediums for an individual client, you know, a lot of it comes from what the client wants. You know, if you've got a client that's more focused on response, you know, then they're measuring the results that are being generated by that client. If it's more about branding, then, you know, then they're doing different kinds of measurement. But in general, they're constantly comparing these different mediums to one another.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when we think about ad agencies, I mean, we think about the various departments, from creative departments and print and web and branding and promotion and PR and point of sale and SEO, TV, radio, Jed, some of the ones you mentioned. I mean, there's so much going on in agencies, and we have to bring some calm to the chaos. We have to understand where their buyers are. We need to know who's buying what from whom, and that's an important part of what we'll be talking about. I was looking back at the notes, Jed, the last time we covered this in my research. The top 6 ad agencies controlled 65% of the spend in back in 2006. That's how tight it was clustered. Today, I mean, it's like, you know, I think about pool balls and just scattering across the table. Everything we've ever thought about media has changed. So, quite honestly, for all of you, your advertisers have more choices than ever. They're more whelmed or overwhelmed than ever. And guess what? Ad agencies on the other side are equally. And you have to ask yourself, and during the course of our program today, you have to ask yourself, you know, what is our USP? What is our unique selling proposal? What is our unique selling proposition? How do we set ourselves apart? We have to pause and continually ask that. How do we drive the best web visibility? How do we drive the most readers to our newsletter? What about the pickup if our publications are free or direct mailed, or drive the best, the absolute very best in terms of paid, if we're on the paid side, if we're newspaper or magazine. You know, these are the kinds of things, because what we're really saying, Jed and I, to you today, is you got to get above the noise. You have to get above the noise. And if you don't, you're going to be lost in the sea. And that includes your presentation. That includes how you track and measure. We'll talk some more about CPM, CPS, CPL, CPC. We got a lot of CP things to walk you through. But the point is that you have to work real hard, and you got to be real positioned with your ideal audience, and you have to do so much more. I mean, the overarching theme, Jed, today has got to be so much more than just, I'm just going to go out and sell ads. We've got to be involved in LinkedIn and Facebook and professionally in our organizations and our associations. We want to speak. We want to write, you know, all of these pieces behind the scenes. And if it sounds like it's a lot, it is. We wish Jed and I could share with you that there's some magic carpet or magic wand that everything will groove along, and it's just simply not true. When I began in the mid-80s, it was, Jed, by comparison, I mean, what ad decisions did you make? Let's see. I had a Yellow Pages. I had a newspaper. I had a couple TV stations. I had a little direct mail. I had a little radio. You know, how many choices did we really have to make in those early days of media? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, it's become much more of a diverse industry.
Absolutely. And therefore, coming back around to ad agencies, think about their side of the world. They're having to make so many more decisions. They're getting bombarded by those who want to sell them, like all of you and like of all of us. They're being bombarded on the other side with clients that are asking constantly. I'll give you a quick little snapshot. We do, Jed, as you know, a lot of SEO work for our clients and so forth. And I mean, it's not like almost daily. You know, hey, what do you think about this email? And what do you think about this? And what do you think about these? This offering I just got. I mean, literally, just to even see it, Jed, through the eyes of our clients that are pinging us. You know, how does this strategy help my SEO? And what do you think about this? And how would this, help on the social media side? So, you know, if advertisers and decision makers and those that you're going out to sell ads are being overwhelmed, well, they're putting it on the desk of the ad agencies, and they're getting it times 50 or 100-fold from all of their clients, and it's gotten that much more difficult to get their attention. Jed, observations related to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really true, and it's hard to overstate, and I don't mean to make this sound negative in any way, but it's hard to overstate how little most agencies will think about something. It's usually, if they receive a proposal or information that requires, analysis or anything other than sort of a top level review, they in general are just not going to do it. That's been my experience, and I think that, it sort of dovetails into what Ernest is saying about, all of these choices and all of the information that needs to be processed. You just can't assume that an agency is going to spend much time processing yours.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that really sort of weaves in, let's tuck in, if we could, a couple of the questions that came in. We have a whole bunch, but we'll kind of prioritize a little bit. We had a question from Stephen, who was asking, how do you find ad agencies with clients that match my market? This is a little bit, Stephen, the chicken and the egg. First, you want to be working with the advertisers, right, who are going to lead you to their clients, and the advertisers are going to lead you to their agencies, and then from the agencies, they're going to lead you to other clients, especially if they have specialties. For example, if they work in women's health and have, a lot of work there, or if they have expertise in the mining sector or RVs or whatever that might be. So number one is you've got clients that will take you back to their agency, and we'll talk a little bit about this in a minute, but we'll talk about 4x4 and how to go deeper in those agencies. And then on the other side, we're going to go out and be visible professionally within our ad clubs and our ad associations and our organizations, so therefore we can comb and take a look to see who else you want to be speaking with, who maybe hasn't tapped into the wonderful advertising sources and resources you have. Jed, anything to add to that for Stephen related to that question?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of finding, finding clients that might be interested in your particular market, I mean, there's no magic list. I think that the best way to do it is to either look at competitors or look at similar publications in different markets that are that are getting some ads that you you suspect are from agencies. I think that there's definitely been a trend in recent years for some larger companies to use agencies in a different way, maybe not, hire one agency that handles everything. It's probably more of a trend to sort of segment it out. And for a lot of offline media, I think that there's probably a higher percentage of companies that handle that business themselves, but it's still a huge number that use agencies. And so it's really hard to tell who is who's specifically handling a particular company. You could do a quick internet search. There are there are directories that are out there, such as like Redbook, which list who has what account, which agency has what account. Very often they're out of date, and very often it's for only the largest of the companies that you'd really deal with, like Ford Motor Company, for example. But there is some information out there, and a pretty quick internet search sometimes can bring back some results on who to contact.
Yeah, and Jed, just to follow behind what you just said, when you mentioned Ford and Ford Ad Agency, and all of you are sitting back going, oh my gosh, if I could just go get a full page that it might have Ford on this and BMW on that, or Kraft Food over here, whatever. We know that you all have those large aspirations and inspiration for what it is you're playing for, okay? But we also have to be real. Right, we have to get real about what is the best fit in our sector. And there's nothing wrong with playing big, because we want to encourage you to play big. But what we don't want to skip over is, number one, are you dominating your local market share? Are you dominating your competitors? And we'll talk in just a minute about your presentation and how that relates. Can you talk about your competitors using media comparisons? How knowledgeable you related to that? What sets you apart? What brings you, what are your exclusives? And so forth. And you have all of that positioning. And then you can take it a little further and say, now, working with my ad agencies, where can I pick up regional buys or sector buys? Or so you don't have to swing for the fences, is what we're sort of telling you. We're sort of saying, get the low-hanging fruit first. I'm a Jed, I'm a big skier. I live in Park City. I mean, when there's big powder days, we don't go racing the furthest lines from the lift. We go right under the lift. There's our first line, low-hanging fruit. The next lap, we go 10 feet away. There's our next lap. Later in the day, we'll go half a mile across the mountain. We'll go get that too. So think about the same way, sort of like a bullseye. Find the stuff that's right in your sweet spot, and then go a little deeper, and then go a little deeper, and a little deeper. In our sales academy about 2 weeks ago, we were talking about studying competitors, Jed, and we were talking about ad drop reports and knowing our market share and market percentages and market penetration, and it all ties in right here. So while all of us are thinking, dreaming, and wanting for, Jed, you teed off on that, let's just be certain we get home base covered first. There was one other quick question from Denise, who asks, is there a standard type of form that agencies would like for every bid and quote? Jed, I set that one aside as well, thinking you might share some insight on that.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any sort of commonality between what you would be providing to different agencies. I think that there is some commonality among the types of clients. For example, if you think that a client is based on, is focusing their decisions based on the response that they're going to receive, then you're going to want to be heavy on the types of numbers that you found your publication can produce. So, for example, if you're going after a car company, we'll just stay with that example. You'd want to include information about auto dealer ads, information if you have it about how many people in your market are buying cars and what the demographics are of your readership. But in terms of how it's actually presented, I mean, other than PowerPoint, there's probably no real general theme, at least that I know of. You know, a lot of times a lot of times agencies will ask you to fill out an RFP in an attempt to try to universalize the information that they receive. But that's, you know, that's usually in the form of an Excel spreadsheet, and they're usually very specific about the information that they are asking for. And RFP, by the way, and I think probably everyone knows it, just stands for Request for Proposal, which is you know, sort of they're dictating the specific information that they're looking for. You'd be providing that information in a format that sort of fits with everyone else, and then you'd be it makes it easier for them to just sort of process it.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. So we're hoping that those responses are helpful. And if you have additional follow-through questions, there was also tied in additional question about what do agencies want from you to make their job easier, and that actually dovetails right into the second part of where we're going. So, Denise, hang on for the ride. We're going to cover that because that really is the spirit. Point number two we're going to talk about is when giving a presentation to an ad agency, face-to-face or long-distance, what are the three most important things to include? And right out of the gate, that's really what we're saying. We opened up our meeting today saying, look, ad agencies are overwhelmed with choices. It ain't the good old days. Again, every time I turn on Mad Men and I enjoy watching it, I got a good idea. I got a good commercial. Okay, good. You got it. And you're the agency. And it's like, what happened? Did we just make a buying decision because somebody had a good creative idea? Every time I see that, Jed, I must tell you, I scratch my head. But those were the old days. That's how it was done, and it's no longer. That ship has sailed way out of port, and we'll talk a little bit more about the CPCs, CPLs, CPSs, ROIs, and CPMs that go around this. But the three most important things, but the overarching piece, Denise, you hit it on the head, and that is we have to make it and want to make it easier and as easy as possible for these ad agencies to not only know what it is we bring, but to be equally fluid in making side-by-side comparisons to those that are in our competitive sect. That are compete with us, that when the advertisers are looking across the bow, they say, listen, these are my six choices or these are my 10 different options. I want you, Mr. or Mrs. Ad Agency, to help me discern what the plan is, how much goes where, and you tell me, which means we have to be willing to give our presentation, but we also have to be willing to defend why we're the very best or compare why we're head and shoulders over our competitors. So the three most important things that agencies want to know is, number one, your presentation in a very, very succinct way. Number two, your competitors, to be very fluid, and if they're not asking, you're bringing it up. And then number three, what you measure. And Jed, I know you have lots to share on the measuring side here. So let's start with your presentation. And again, you've heard the word USP. We're kind of rattling the term around. It means our unique selling proposal, our unique selling proposition. We have got to be so absolutely crisp on what it is that we bring that's unique. For example, if you have access to a membership directory and it's an exclusive and it's the exact and perfect audience, bingo, you're right there. If you have, for example, on a free publication exclusives in a grocery store chain and none of your other competitors are there, that's a USP. Okay, these are the kinds of things. If you have the exclusive guide at a particular consumer event that you might be putting out in conjunction with the event or the organizer or the host, whomever that might be, and none of your competitors will be there, those are USPs. If you've got the best editorial and why, be able to explain that, all of these things sync up. There are 16 sections to a perfect presentation. These are the absolute must-haves. We're going to tie in and just talk about two of the 16 for the purpose of today. Number one of the two we're going to cover is we must know about our readers. We must conduct frequent, minimum once a year, ideally twice, readership surveys, whether we're gathering it from our newsletters, our website, our print, whether we have to do contests or promotions to do it. We continually need to know about our readers to be able to feed that back on a timely basis back to ad agencies. They want to see the kinds of surveys that we're doing. They want to learn about the buying power, the buying timing of our readers, and all of those things dovetail in for us to be able to talk about why we reach the perfect audience and why that perfect audience is a perfect fit for their advertisers. Jed, a comment or observation related to reader surveys, buying power, and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're all important, and I think that, you know, again, I mean, it's the difficulty here is that it's hard to say definitively what each client is looking for. So here's what I think is even a step worth taking before you do that, and that is, I would find a publication that is currently working with the advertiser that you're going after, and I would become friends with them. Whether that means, you know, whether that's through an association that you're a member of, or just picking up the phone and introducing yourself, I would try to find out more from a publication that's currently working with that client in a different market, non-competitor. But I would try to find out more about that client and what it is they're looking for, because everyone is different, right? I mean, obviously there's some general things that people are concerned about, things like, you know, price, and but for the most part, it's, you know, there's, you know, a lot of companies have different ways of sort of viewing the world, and so if you're able to get a heads up on that and just hear from someone, hey, look, these guys are all about response, right? They're all about how many phone calls are generated, or maybe they say, you know what, these guys are all about, you know, web sales. And so if it's, you know, for them, it's, you know, everything depends on how many people visit their website as a result of printing the ad. Or maybe they say, you know, they don't care about any of that. What they care about is that, you know, the color is perfect and the ad looks wonderful. And so therefore, you know, maybe you want to talk more about your press capacities. Whatever it may be, having that information, I think, is going to give you a real heads up on sort of how to make a presentation or which pieces of information to highlight.
And the piece, just to dovetail behind what you're hearing from Jed, what he's saying is that all buyers have hot buttons, right? And when we think about the 16 unique steps that consist of a perfect publication or a perfect presentation for your publication or your advertising sales, those 16 steps all tie together, and some may be really engaged about your circulation, your distribution. Some want to know about your editorial. Some want to know, in this case, about the buying power. And in highlighting sort of two today of those 16, what you're hearing from Jed is, hey, listen, in the end, every agency buyer is going to want to know specific things. And when they address those, you have to be not only completely prepared, but you have to have the backup research that supports that. So it's more than just, well, this is what, you know, I was in my presentation. Well, you know, I'm told, you know, that we do print 40,000. That's interesting. Do you have anything else to validate that? The response is actually, yeah, here's the copy of my printer invoice, and right here's the postal receipt from the last 30 days. The person goes, okay, you are the real deal. You have to be able to prove and validate every single aspect of what you're putting into that presentation. And by the way, you only typically have to do that once or twice in the course of a presentation. Generally once. But if you don't answer it well the first time, then they're going to query you a second and a third and a fourth time. And they're going to say, well, listen, our web, I don't know, I'm told, you know, 140,000 impressions on our website. Great. Do you have any Google Analytics to support that? Gee, I'm told that we've got, you know, really incredible visibility on the web. Great. Do you have any search engine optimization reports to validate that? And you might pause and go, man, do I have to prepare for all that stuff? Hey, look, if you want to talk about web ads, or e-newsletter heads, or print, you got to be able to talk about all of those things. Jed, the world's become much more complex in this area. Yes,
right. No, it really has, and it's, you know, and it would be nice if there were, you know, two or three metrics that every advertiser used, and they were universal, but it just isn't the case.
Absolutely. And let's talk about the second of 16 that we promised to cover here today. The second is case studies. This is one of those that you don't see frequently in a media kit, which is why it's important, because it's one thing. Media buyers are used to hearing your stories and your examples, but two things are going on. Number one, they can't repeat that story back to their clients, so because they can't, they're not going to tell it. They're not going to sell it, okay? And number two, they got the attention span of a gnat. They don't want to hear your long, drawn-out piece. Case studies are wonderful examples. They're written internally by us. they're cloaked so that it just says, it doesn't say, hey, this is the work we did for Nabisco. It says, you know, we did this for a packaged goods company in the Midwest. This is what they wanted. This is what we deployed. And this is what the results were. Case studies are written internally, and they're unusual to see in a media kit, which is why it's one of our specific strategies of 16. And you might pause and say, how many is right? Do we have two? Do we have 22? Generally, you want somewhere in the 5 to 7 range that covers a variety of areas that showcase the strengths of your publication and or newsletter and or website ads. Once upon a time, a group that was not with us, here's what they got. Once upon a time, a group that used to use other mediums came in, this is what they got. Once upon a time, we had a group that was not doing well economically or financially, and over the last 36 months, look what we've done. They started with a small ad, it grew larger, and look what happened as a result. Those are the kinds of examples you tuck in here. Because it's not normal to see them in a media kit, we encourage you to tuck those into your media presentations because it sets you apart, but more importantly, the media buyer who's got an attention span of a gnat now has something that she can put in front of her other team members, other buyers in the agency, or in front of the client, and be able to come and speak from a place of credibility. Okay? Let's shift gears. Let's talk about the second. We said that there's three things that are important when we work with ad agencies. Number one, our presentation. Number two, our competitors. We must be absolutely stone cold with the understanding of what our competitors are doing, their strengths and their weaknesses. We have to have that kind of information so that we can be fluid and so that an agency buyer will see that we have expertise and that we've done our homework. And Jed, as you know, over all the years, and it's been a while since we've done them here together, we might circle back maybe a little later this year, but putting it in writing in a media comparison. Media comparisons do exactly that. It takes, obviously, the research to build. There are typically 3 columns. There's typically 10 to as many as 20 categories down the left-hand side. In the middle column is your company, and the right-hand column is your competitor, singular. We build only one per competitor. We do not want to build a media comparison that has 12 competitors because you just gave the ad agency fuel to go, wow, look at that. My buying client told me there were 3 in the space. Now I realize there's 9 more. We do not want to give agencies ideas to go out to our competitors. So if they're talking about competitor number one, you pull out that sheet, assuming you're face-to-face. You do the same electronically. Competitor number two comes up in the conversation, boom. And you want the key piece is that this is called disruptive selling. We do a lot of work, Jed, in our weekly academies related to this, finding those places in a presentation to stop the buyer or stop an advertising decision maker, to literally stop and have them say, wait a minute, I didn't know that. Wait a minute, really? Hang on. I say that again? Where they literally pause and interrupt you, and when you get an interruption, you know you've moved one step closer to a sale. And this is one of those opportunities with a media comparison. We never bash the competitor. We never roll them under the bus. And, Jed, maybe that later this year we'll circle back and do a rollout again on media comparisons and walk the group through that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm sure it would be worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. So what does this mean? What we're saying is you have to know your competitors and know exactly how you compare and contrast. So when you're working with agencies, that you will be able to show them that your understanding of the space and sector, your understanding and knowledge of who you're competing with, and then your ability to move them back to a solution with you. Quite frankly, your competitors, most, will not sell with this kind of tool. It is a massive advantage. It is a really big advantage for you. The second of the 3 things to always bring to an ad agency presentation. And the third, And Jed coming around the bend, because this is where we start to talk about what we measure, okay? And I know from our past meetings your passion for this because you know it's mine. What we measure. Let's break out and let's kind of walk through, okay, the kinds of things that ad agencies are going to talk to you about or want to know what you're measuring. So certainly cost per 1,000 or CPM. Certainly CPC, which is cost per contact. So imagine for just a moment that 100 calls come in as a result of an ad that's placed, those are the contacts. Imagine from that just simple math, but 50 of them really are prime leads or prospects, right? 50. So that's considered cost per lead, CPL. CPS is considered cost per sale, cost per close. Those are actual transactions. And agencies want to know about that. And then lastly, they want to know the return on investment. If I put out $1, what do I get, a dollar back? Do I get $3 back? What can I expect? What do you know about the kind of results that you're bringing from the ads that you're currently placing in your publication, newsletter, and website? Jed, let's talk a little bit about the insight that you have about the importance of tracking and how tightly that's being measured by advertisers in your world.
Well, you know, it's important to sort of realize when you're talking about this that there are other mediums for whom these are the only things that people talk about, right? So for an advertising agency that's handling any kind of online advertising as well as print, they're fluid in these kinds of terms, so it becomes a much easier way to sort of secure budget if you can play by the rules that they've set up for the internet, or at least speak the language, at least sort of talk about having the returns that in the same way that internet companies do. As I'm sure all of you know, if you're buying ads on AdWords or a banner ad, in a lot of cases you're paying on a cost per click. You know, that doesn't translate exactly to the print world, but it might translate to a cost per call or a cost per contact, as Ernest referred to it earlier. You know, you can use the same type of metrics and give advertising agencies who are measuring these things in other mediums and show them how your publication can compete and how your publication can produce the same kind of results as they are getting from other mediums. Because increasingly, it's very rare for us, at least, you know, speaking for myself, it's very rare for me to talk to anyone who just deals in print anymore on the advertising agency world. You know, most of them are dealing in multiple mediums, and print all of a sudden becomes much, much more exciting for them if you can break down the costs of print into these sort of terms and these measurement these ways of measuring response that you would see online. It doesn't mean you have to charge them in the same way that you do online, but it does mean that it certainly helps if you can speak that language and take your offering and kind of break it down for them in a way that that they're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the reason that Jed and myself are sharing with you sort of the mindset of agencies and the terms that they're using is that because of what's been happening online, they're equating it right back to your site advertising, your newsletter advertising, your print advertising. They want to know what you're capturing. They want to know what's trackable. They want to know the performance of what you know. Related to your advertising solutions. And frankly, since this is the jargon and these are the terms that they're fluid with, we want you not only to be fluid, but we want you to be prepared for any meeting to be able to talk about these kinds of things. Jed, does that sort of, you know, make sense coming around the bend?
Yeah, it does. And you know, because look, the biggest objection that anyone ever gets is in some way or another is we can't afford it, right? Is that we don't have the money for it. It's not in the budget, you know. Your publication sounds super, but you know, we don't really, you know, have the $5,000 you want us to spend with you in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's if you're able to show the advertiser and make an argument that spending that $5,000 is going to produce, you know, $6,000 in sales, you know, it changes the dynamic, and it completely changes how advertisers and agencies, you know, view you, because you're no longer sort of trying to get them to spend money on something which they're not sure what the return will be, but in fact you're giving them a way to you know, to take that money and to be successful with it. So it changes the type of conversation, and it's more in line with the types of conversations that they're having with many other mediums. You know, increasingly television and radio are measuring in the same way. You know, the internet obviously is built around that whole idea of measuring response and measuring who's seeing and doing what.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you know, the other thing too, and it's worth mentioning, is that a lot of the people that you talk to at advertising agencies are not people who feel that they're print people, right? I mean, it's most of the people who are in advertising agencies are people who have grown up using the internet. They're relatively early in their careers, and they don't have that sort of passion towards printed publications or belief in printed publications that many of the people on this call do. It's just, you know, it's a different way of looking at marketing and looking at you know, how that money is being spent. So if you can take what you're offering and apply it, you know, to using the tools that they're familiar with, you know, I often find that there's sort of a light bulb that goes off, and that they're excited about that because they you know, they've sort of dismissed print in many cases because it doesn't offer that kind of, you know, that kind of return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just a quick comment about that, about dismissing and the conversations about is print dead and so forth. If you look at a lot of the research being done, including some of the Borrell Report information, in some cases not only have things plateaued, but in some sectors, print buying is actively coming back on the other side. It's, Jed, what you've said to me resoundingly. When we go out to generate ads for advertisers, where do you go?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
When MediaBids goes out, drive revenue for the advertisers, where do you go?
To print publications.
Thank you. And the reason why, that print versus newsletters versus website, the reason why is?
Well, it's print just produces better. I mean,
produces,
it produces, you know, print. We find that it you know, that the it produces more volume in terms of response, and it also produces better quality. And one of the reasons too that print is coming back in a lot of markets is that Google AdWords is really, really expensive. And so if you break it down, you know, and you break down, you know, for example, the number of responses that you would guess that an ad would get if it was placed in your publication, you know, based on your readership and based on what you've seen other advertisers doing. If you break that down, and then you break it down by the cost, and you come up with a, you know, a cost per response that you would be sharing with the client, you know, it's always interesting to go onto Google into AdWords and compare what the current high bid is for that, for a keyword that is trying to attract roughly the same customers, because in many cases, advertisers are paying a huge premium for these for keywords which are relevant to their business, and you know, they get caught up in the idea that they're not paying anything unless someone clicks on it. But in reality, if you break it down and you break out how much that click is really costing and how many clicks it takes to generate a customer, you know, print becomes a bargain.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you've shared in prior presentations, and I encourage you to go back and take a look over the last maybe 3 to 6 months, Jed has done some wonderful presentations about I can hear the drums in the background. I'm beating on the drums, Ernest. I got something to say. I got to roll. You know, and you have, and they're very compelling, and your stats are absolutely deafeningly, meaning not definitely, but they're deafening, meaning they silence the words, print is alive and vibrant, as evidenced by all that you're tracking related to that. So a very important piece related to, and those are some of the questions that that we had, in fact, several of you asked, including Andrea, as well asked about that question, so I'm glad that we tucked that question in. Let's, if we could, transition to the last part that we promised to cover, the third part, about the whole communication and decision-making flow between ad agencies, their clients, and what does it take to gain and drive more sales here. And, Jed, you know, you touched on this a little earlier, and we don't want to skip over it. You know, we have to know who we're working with on the agency side. We have a relationship with the advertiser and the client. We're going to always maintain that that dialogue. We're going to share with the client, with the advertiser, news, trends, new updates, new opportunities, and always maintain that piece. And frankly, this is also where we've done entire programs just focused on how we work and weave into social environments, whether it's Chamber of Commerce or other professional organizations or associations. You know, we're going to have an ongoing dialogue that, frankly, the ad agencies may or may not participate. But then we have to go to the other side, and we're going to maintain the dialogue with the ad agencies with industry news and trends and new resources and new buying opportunities. So we maintain that. So we keep the triangle of communication moving between us and the agency and us and the buying client on the other side. So it doesn't matter whether we're going to sell that ad through the front door or the back door. No matter what, we want the ad, you know, in between. It also means that, you know, not skipping over, that we've got to go be involved where the ad agencies are. You know, that's also part of the communication and the dialogue. If we're only going to show up for the 10 o'clock meeting by phone or in person, and we're not involved in the ad clubs or the marketing groups or the sales and marketing in your particular area, then you're missing that opportunity. You're just then one other salesperson. But find yourself going to join or actively participate in the ad club. Find yourself in a foursome of, you know, two or three of the agencies you've been trying to get appointments with, and it answers the 466 questions that we got called, how do I get an appointment with an ad agency? Well, guess what? If you want to catch fish, you got to go become a fish. And if you want to catch salmon, you go to Alaska. You don't go to Lake Michigan.
Lake Michigan has salmon, Ernest. Come on.
All right. Forget salmon. The Mississippi River. They don't have the beautiful Alaskan salmon. We're back to the National Geographic show. So the point is what? You've got to work the agencies as hard as you work. So you step back and you look at your calendar over the next 30 days, and you pause and say, so what meetings outside of the traditional work environment, social or business or professional related, where will my advertisers be? You've got to be actively swimming in there. But you've got to go to the other side and do the same with agencies. That answers the question. You're showing that you're professionally involved. You're showing that you're there to be part of all that they're doing, and you're also answering the question, what are they most worried about? What are they thinking about? You also get this beautiful opportunity when you're working with ad agencies to be able to say, hey, look, I know the ad club meeting's next Tuesday. Might we sit for lunch? I'd love an opportunity. The person says, man, I know you've been trying to get on my calendar. Guess what? I'll see you next week at noon. All of a sudden, you go, look at that. I got my lunch meeting. Or, hey, how about before we go in, could we meet for 15 minutes before we go into the restaurant or into the hotel? Now you got a meeting before. A person goes, yeah, you know what, I've been busy. I apologize for the last 6 weeks. Yeah, I'll be there 15 minutes. I'll see you in the lobby. You know, these are the kinds of things. This all ties in to our selling strategies. It has nothing to do with showing up at 10:01, you know, to run a sales meeting. It has nothing to do with wondering why for the last 10 weeks, you know, you've not gotten any airtime with that agency. Let's take that a step further, the world of LinkedIn. You know, when you're thinking about these ad agencies and you're thinking about, you know, getting opportunities with them, I haven't run Jed a meeting in 5 years that I don't pull up a person's LinkedIn profile, literally print it off, begin making my notes, look for common bonds, look for common connections, look for the groups they participate in, like, oh my gosh, I know there's an ad club in Boston, but I didn't know that this person's also a member of the marketing club. Holy smokes, maybe I should also be joining that one because I'll find other agency people that I need on that side of the house. So LinkedIn is an unbelievable tool for us. Remember, too, and this directly relates to the communication flow, the decision making. Remember the model 4x4. For those of you that have participated in our Power Hour weekly sales academy, we've gone very, very deep. But in a broad stroke on this, 4x4 means you got to go deeper in your ad agencies. You got to go across. You might be working with the person who handles print, but you need to also work with the person on the online side or vice versa. You want to move up the channel so that you're working with decision makers even above your points of contact, especially if that person leaves the agency or leaves the company client on the ad side, and then you want to work a level below. 4x4 means we've got to go deeper, left, right, up and down, visualize an organizational chart. It's a very important deal. That also means that you've got to be a fast read, and this is a biggie because, Jed, you were talking about that, about who knows what about print and who knows what about online, and there's a whole lot of BS floating around that nobody really wants to say. The emperor's wearing no clothing. I'm really an expert here, but I don't know as much there, but I still have to make buys. So tell me about your Twitter account. The person has no idea what Twitter is. There's a whole lot of that going on. And that's in part because the technology is also moving so quickly. And the information is moving so quickly. So you've got to classify very, very rapidly in your meetings, in addition to the pre-meeting research and know exactly the kinds of things that they're interested in and they're focused on for their clients. You have to know, is this person really a newbie buyer? By the way, no one's going to put a tag on their front of their shirt that says, I'm a newbie. But they're not going to tell you that. Oh, yeah, I've been in the agency business for 25 years. What do you got, young man or young lady? You know, you're going, oh, boy, this person's an expert in everything that I'm going to talk about. No, they're not. Three classifications. You've got to sort it out. The faster you sort it out, the better off you will be. When you are in a meeting with an ad agency, are they a newbie? Are they a professional level, the mid-tier, or are they an expert in each of those areas? Print, e-newsletter, web, SEO, social media. You know, you're sorting that piece out, and the faster you do it, the faster you will drive sales. Okay? And it's, Jed, when you were saying, you know, those who are buying in agencies, frankly, don't understand print as well, but they're still making print buys, or those who, you know, really share that they know so much. I was working with a 20-something, a friend of a friend this past week, just got his first new job at an ad agency, and he said, man, you know, I'm really good at Facebook, but I didn't know any of what I know now. You know, even from a week ago. And frankly, I did a little bit on Twitter, but I never realized the power of it. But then I didn't realize the liability of it. You know, he's given me all these epiphanies. But in a client meeting, he sounds like he's the world's best expert. You know what I'm saying, Jed?
Right. I mean, I think for me personally, the litmus test is column inches. I can't remember. Let's put it this way. It's very rare that I talk to someone who knows what a column inch is.
Mm-hmm.
So when people don't know what a column inch is, it means that they generally have virtually no experience with print. So mm-hmm. I think that you have to go into it sort of assuming that. I mean, it's an odd thing because for a lot of these agencies, print is an exotic, unknown medium. You know, it's something which they personally, you know, probably don't have as much contact with, and they view it as this sort of foreign thing, and so you really have to go into it kind of saying, you know, here's what it is, but here's how it, you know, here's how it equates to what you're used to.
Mm-hmm. And those are some of the key terms. You know, for example, if someone's talking about LinkedIn and I say, hey, tell me about your views on LinkedIn. And they go, you mean my view about LinkedIn? No. The number of people have seen you on LinkedIn. Oh, I don't know. Where do I find that? That's my immediate clue that I can go, bam, expert, pro, newbie, right in that classification. And then what you want to do is, you know, and then be able to show people what you do know about that particular aspect and be able to show them what you do know about that particular reason why this media buy makes sense or why this. And so all of a sudden, you know, it lets you raise that person's level of knowledge. And so, you know, Jed, when you talk about column inches, yeah, tell me about, you know, the total, you know, column inches your agency buys, you know, on a 30-day basis. And they go, what are you talking about? Well, that gives you a sense that they may be talking to you about print, but they really don't even have the basic knowledge. So their title might say, you know, ad buyer, but, you know, on the other side of it, I'm a newbie to print, and I don't want anybody to know that.
Right. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I think it's fair to say that there's very few people that get hired these days for in agencies because of their knowledge of print.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so as a result, you know, it's a you know, they're thinking about the world differently than you might be conventionally trying to sell it.
Mm-hmm. And while we're talking about that, agencies expect that you're going to talk to them about your website, your e-newsletter, your impressions, your click-throughs. You've got to be attuned to that side of the house as well. And we've been talking about that here, Jed, for years and years, that we say, look, you know, you got to have the total package because it works wonderful. The seesaw back and forth. E-newsletters drives website visitors. Website visitors drive ad results. Print drives ad results and back to the website. It just keeps feeding it, the visual of like a seesaw that goes back and forth and back and forth, feeds each other, and they work really nicely dynamically. And the ad agencies are going to expect that you have that. So if you're out there just on the print side and don't have any other media solutions, you're going to have a tough time moving that off the dock with them. We are not saying that print is not incredibly powerful. What we are saying is there's a wonderful combination and a bundling of all three of those. And the media groups and the media companies that are bundling all of that are rocking their biz forward. Okay?
Right.
All right, Jed. We've covered a lot of ground. As always, always a pleasure here. And I have a little sort of top three to leave the group, which is, number one, I will not be frustrated when selling to agencies. Number two, I will be persistent when selling to ad agencies. Number three, I will be prepared for ad agency meetings. Okay? Top three things you need to do: maintain your persistence, maintain your grace, and always be prepared. You have to be more prepared than ever. And it's not because they know everything. It's because you need to make it easy for them to explain to their client why you are the superior buy, or why you need to be part of the majority buy, or why you need to be part of the conversation. And that's really the focus of what we're talking about here.
Right. You know, I mentioned it earlier, but just really briefly, you know, it really helps to get some intel on the client before you talk to them, and whether that means, you know, having a partnership with a publication a couple states away that's similar to yours, you know, something where you can just say, you know, hey, have you ever talked to this agency? This kind of stuff happens all the time with people who are selling online properties. They share information about who's buying what, when an RFP comes out, that type of thing. You know, just having someone be able to say, you know, hey, heads up, you know, the Sears RFP is out for your state. You know, and you know, that kind of stuff goes a long way. And if you sort of build a network like that, I think it can really help.
Mm-hmm. You betcha. Hey, Jed, as we're just coming up on the top of the hour, so much to share. We hope for all of you this has been helpful. We had lots and lots of questions. This will be up and live over the next couple of days. We'll ping you a note and let you know it's available so you can listen to it. We encourage you to go back to MediaBids and go take a look at more than 60 hours of programs that are there for you. They're intended to provide tools and resources and strategies that will help you and your advertising sales team win. Jed, some closing words for our group?
Well, thanks, everyone, for joining us. You know, thanks again to Ernest. I really, really appreciate all of the information that he shares. And, you know, I learned a lot. I hope you did as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, thanks to everyone.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And to all of you, make it a fabulous day, and we'll see you back next month. Take care.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Ernest.